let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Amen. One more time, I tell you what, let's read it together, verse number one. Let's read it together. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen. God bless you tonight as you seat in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I want to talk to you about staying steady. Staying steady. The writer describes the idea of a believer who would let the things which they have heard slip away. We've heard this text before, but the last few days is one that nothing else seems to grab my attention except this text tonight. And so the writer says that the things of God can slip away. The rendering has the idea that it can drift away, slip away, or to let things drift, as the idea of being unanchored and just kind of allowing the current of the tide just to move you down the stream or down the river. Matter of fact, later on in this same epistle, he talks about the anchor that holds us, the anchor that should keep us steady. And so I believe this is the initial thought that he gives to us about warning us about losing the things of God. There are five different warnings in the book of Hebrews. This is the first one that we read in this text, that we should give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we let them slip away, that we let them just drift out of our lives. So it is entirely possible that the idea is introduced in this text that a believer can lose the things of God. Amen. That it is somewhat almost unnoticeable, but he is writing to believers who were converted out of Judaism. They have come out of that Judaistic style of worship. They're worshiping the true and the living God, but now they are becoming unanchored. They are becoming unmoored, and they're moving back. They're drifting back into the life that they have been called out of. You would think that would never happen. You'd be hard-pressed to see why anybody would go back to the life that God brought them out of. But you and I, through observation, know all too well, we see this happen a lot of times. Matter of fact, it probably happens more time than we want to admit. And some would say that there are more that backslide than stay with God. There are more that don't finish the race than do finish the race. Amen. I want to finish the race, and I want to hear God say, well done. And there is a danger among all of us, lest at any time, not just the young, but old as well, lest at any time we should let them slip, that we should let them drift away, that we become careless. And so notice in just a minute, I want to give you three things I believe that the text points to us that we can combat drifting away. But the picture here is sketched for us that there is an anchor that holds us steady, that there is an anchor that ought to hold the people of God in place. We don't see that much anymore. We don't see that much anymore. Recently, I was looking at some church growth data and some church attendance data, and now it is not judged by a weekly attendance. It is judged by every 3 weeks now in America. The tendency is now to gather data every 3 weeks because that's about how often people want to go to church, is just about once a month or every 3 weeks. Now, these are church-going people. These are people that say they love Jesus and the Lord is the Lord of their life. But in America, once every 3 weeks is about good enough for us. I would say we're letting things drift away. I think we're losing that morality and the pure conscience of America, even inside of the church. Not just at large in America, but in the church as well, the things of God are becoming unimportant. And so this picture is sketched for us in this text of a man that's drifting, a man that is going through the process. And I want you to understand that it doesn't happen quick. It's not just a jerk reaction or a vociferous nature that is violent, rejecting the truth. But he has the idea of a man that is slowly, methodically, almost unnoticeably drifting down the life, drifting down the stream, drifting down the culture, just drifting almost to where if you don't pay attention, you would not even notice it. That if there were not some markers in place, if there were not some landmarks that you would identify, they're moving so slow that it looks as if they're not moving at all. But yet, given enough time and enough observation, we realize that they are indeed drifting. They are indeed moving. And so all of us tonight have to have an anchor. All of us tonight have to drive that anchor spiritually into the things of God, because there's people that have been saved longer than you, my friend, that have probably backslid. There's preachers that have preached more sermons than I have that have backslid. There's people that have sang better than you and played more music and sang in choirs longer than you that have backslid. So we have to understand that if we don't have some landmarks, if we don't have some things that assess where we are at, then we, my friend, might be drifting and not even realize it. And so he addresses that idea as he sketches that picture for us, that it is this slow process that is going on. And so I submit to you tonight, I want God to search my heart. I want God to show me where I am at, because I don't want to judge myself according to what you say about me. I don't want to judge myself according to what culture says about me. But what does God say about my life? What does God say about me as a preacher of the gospel? What does God say about me as far as a father and a husband? What does God say? Am I anchored to the things of God, or am I drifting? Have I laid down convictions and taken up the things of the world? Have I picked up things that I used to shout about? Have I picked up things, and am I bearing burdens that at one time I was free from and I was able to worship God about? And so I'm challenged, my friend, because I was preaching recently in a church and a family that I've known for a while, but I'm watching that process because I remember when they first got saved. I remember when they got in and started serving God, and how on fire for God they were, and how fervent they were in their worship. But now I've preached there in multiple years, and I can look back and see they're not what they used to be. They're not on fire for God like they once were. And I realize that I'm pastoring people that are drifting as well. I'm pastoring people that would have never laid out of midweek service or Sunday night service would have been entirely too important to miss. But now they've missed so many midweek services that we're surprised when they do show up. And so, friend, let us realize tonight that if we're not careful, we will drift just like other denominations that can't even get anybody to a midweek service. That because they're so enamored with their careers and they're so busy and they're so stressed out, they just take midweek service off, and so they go from Sunday to Sunday, and they forget, friend, at one point in time they were so anchored to God they would have never laid out of midweek. But you and I have to recognize tonight, where are we spiritually in God? Where am I at as a father of my children? Where am I as a husband in the things of God? Where am I as a preacher? And so sometimes we can get to the point where, well, if that's the way they want it, then just let them have it. But I don't want to be that way as a minister of the gospel. Amen. I want to anchor myself to the things of God. I want to anchor myself to the Word of God. I want to anchor myself, and what I was 5 years ago and 10 years ago, I want to stay set steady. Amen. I want to stay rock solid in the things of God. Amen. But it's not that way nowadays. Amen. It seems as if it's so hard to find just one family, just one person that wants to be steady, when it seems as if everything is topsy-turvy, when it seems like there's maybe I'm painting with a broad brush tonight, but when I look at the landscape in America, when I look at most of the holiness churches, I realize that we are drifting further and further and further away from God. And I say, God, I don't want that for my church. I don't want that as a pastor. I don't want that for your family. I don't want that for your children. Amen. And so we make decisions tonight, not just for what goes on tonight, but we're making choices for subsequent generations. We're making choices for your children and your grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren. And if we let them slip, my friend, if we lose hold of the things of God, who will be the one that gets them back? I mean, look around and look at the empty pews tonight. Look at the holes in the congregation. Look at Sunday night service. Amen. They should be in the house of God. They should have a burden to be in God's house. But I say, God, I don't have the answer. I don't have the words. Except I make a clarion call tonight and say, God, let us fight against that tide. Let us fight against that trend to become lukewarm and to become careless in the things of God. Let us fight against that. Amen. If we just neglect it, later on in the text it said, if we neglect, if we just ride the tide, we're going to go away from God, because the tide is not going toward God. The tide is not going toward revival. The tide is not going toward separation. The tide is not going toward holiness. It is going away from God. It's going away from the things of God. It's going away from sanctification. It's going away from separation. So there's got to be something in my life that says, I am anchored right here. I am anchored right here. I will not back down. I will not yield right here, but I'm anchored to the things of God. Amen. If you're the only one in your neighborhood, if you're the only one in the classroom, if you're the only one in the job, but on this midweek service, why don't somebody say, I'm willing to anchor myself. I need some men in my church. I'm tired of watching weak men. We need some men to anchor down. I'm tired of watching young folks that can't make up their mind whether they want to serve God or not. I'm tired of watching fickle young people that got everything going their direction but hadn't got enough power to God to live for God by noon on Monday. I'm tired of watching that. I'm looking for somebody. I'm not preaching old fogey religion. I'm not preaching Grandpa's day. I realize it's 2017, but if the gospel is right and the things of God are pure, at some point in time, we need to wake up. We need to stir ourselves. We need to shake ourselves and say, hey, I'm growing cold. Hey, I'm getting lukewarm. Hey, I better do something, because I'm losing out on the things of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Drifting. I could put my finger on your nose, but that wouldn't do any good. It would not change a thing unless something in your mind causes an alarm to go off that says, I am drifting. So there's three strategies in the text, I think, that will keep us from drifting. Three strategies, I think, that will keep us anchored down to the things of God. Number one, recognizing the supremacy of Christ. Recognizing the supremacy of Christ. In chapter number 1, in verse number 8, he said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Verse number 10, Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. He begins to show that all of the other comparisons to God are feeble, and all of the comparisons to God are going to no avail. But he said, concerning our God, concerning Jesus Christ, he reigns in glory. He is supreme. He is the supreme attraction of my life. He is what matters to me most. Everything else is going to pass away. Do you understand that, my friend? Amen. Your house and your car, it's going to burn away one day. Amen. The career that people are chasing, it's going to pass away. It is not eternal. And the things that are stressing people out is not eternal. And so he compares it to our God. And he said, compared to Christ, amen, Christ reigns in glory. Amen. Christ is supreme. Amen. Christ is sovereign. Christ is righteous. And Christ is eternal. If there's anything I need to submit, and you can't even get to church on time for Jesus Christ, your boss man wouldn't put up with that. Amen. But compared to Jesus, I said, compared to Jesus, does he not deserve my best? Does he not deserve better than that? Amen. What we offer him is the leftovers. What we offer him is what we think he has to accept. But he is a holy God. He is a righteous God. And I'm not going to give him less than my boss man. I'm not going to give him less than what I do chasing a temporary paycheck. He is my God, and he's sovereign, and he's holy. And friend, it is an absolute honor to come into his presence. It's sinful to come into his house late. It's sinful to drag in, amen, with the cares of life. It's sinful to be in his presence and not worship him. We ought to bow before him tonight and cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. It's a sin to take him for granted. I said, it's a sin to take him for granted. I come into his house to praise him. I come in to recognize who he is. Paul, in chapter number 1, in verse number 2, he said, in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. The supremacy of Christ in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, there is no other gospel save Jesus. There is no other gospel. And so compared to the angels, if the word of the angels was steadfast compared, if the law was pure, if the law was given, if the law had consequences, and the law was reliable, how much more should Jesus and his word be honored? How much more should Jesus' word be recognized? There is salvation in no other name except Jesus. And we have that truth tonight, friend. I said, we have that truth. I said, thank God I'm washed in the blood. I said, thank God I heard the name of Jesus. I said, Buddha can do it. I said, Hare Krishna can do it. But the name of Jesus, I said, that name Jesus, there's salvation, there's healing, there's deliverance. Recognize the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, if the president showed up or the boss man of your organization would show up, we give them a lot of honor. But when Jesus shows up, we take it for granted. Should not be so. Should not be so. Are you as excited about Jesus tonight as the night you got saved? If not, you're drifting. Do you praise him as fervently as you did when you first got saved? If not, you're drifting. You're drifting. Are you working for Jesus? Are you witnessing for Jesus like you once did? If not, my friend, you are drifting. You are drifting. Look at the landmark. Look where you used to be and look where you are at now. I said, oh, hear the clarion call tonight. Amen. He deserves our best. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. Recognize the supremacy of Christ. Number 2, in chapter number 2, in verse number 1, my text, that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. That we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. I believe the way to stay steady is not only recognizing the supremacy of Christ, but secondly, heeding to the word of God. I said heeding to the word of God. Hallelujah. I still believe salvation is through the blood of Jesus Christ.
I still believe holiness is God's will and pleasure for all generations. Should we let that slip? Should we change now? It's pretty weak. Should we change now? Should we, because it's the 20th, well, we got to keep our kids, so let's loosen up a little bit. Hey, they tried that a generation ago, and they lost them all. Hallelujah. A compromising religion will not keep the young folks, but a religion on fire, a religion with the power of God, a religion that sees God's fire, it'll keep this next generation. Oh my God. Amen. If a lukewarm church could keep the young folks, then the charismatics would keep every one of them, but they lose almost 85% of them because there's no power. There's no unction. The answer is not a ball team. The answer is not a bowling alley. The answer is the power and the glory, the fire of God. That, my friend, is the answer. The answer is revival. That is the answer. Hallelujah. The answer's not a hobby. The answer's revival. The answer is a move of God. The answer is the genuine fire of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not a hobby. It's not more education. We got to get up. We got homework. I'm so sick of hearing that. What's more important? You go back and look, and I observe the ones that put more emphasis on homework than they did revival in the house of God. You show me, very few of them kept their children. Hallelujah. Come to church, stay up till 1 and do homework. God will bless you for it. You ain't got to say amen, that's all right. Your wife won't let you. But you know I'm telling you the truth. But if they'll do the right things on a daily basis, if they'll tell you, why don't you take their cell phone away from 3:30 to 6:30 and get them off social media, and why don't you make them do homework right then and say we're going to the house of God. And if you don't get your homework done, that's on you, buddy. But we're not missing church. I said we're not missing church. That's the way they used to do it. Maybe I am preaching old school, but they used to have the fire. They used to have the power. But we got this generation right now that can't seem to handle anything. We've got this church age now that just praises for about 5 minutes. Then we got to go home. I said, God, take us back. My God, give us the power. Give us the glory. Give us a revival like we've never seen before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ask Greg. Ask Jeremy. Ask Brian. We got some college grads around here. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if they'll be able to go to college or not. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on, friend. I just want them to be able to provide for them. I just want them to be able to make their way in the world. Yeah, I do too, so they'll pay tithes. But I don't care what their job is. I don't care if they work at the bank or own the bank. I don't care if they work at the front desk at the doctor's office or they become the doctor. The most important thing. Heeding to the word of God. Heeding to the word of God. When they used to get saved, they threw out the TVs. They threw out the movies. But ain't no need to throw out the TVs and the movies if you're going to use your computer the same way. It's all the same thing. So let's not shout we don't have a TV if we're using a computer for the same way. Go ahead, Pastor. I think I will. What's the difference? Some of you are more addicted to Fox News than you are television. You might as well, matter of fact, there are legal cases right now pending because you cannot be a member of a Baptist church in some places and have a television. But a smartphone is be considered in legal courts right now as a television. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. And some people are using it as a television. It is as pure or it is as wicked as your heart. But I've got to make the connection. What is grabbing the attention of the holiness people? What has got them so discouraged? What has them so discontent? What has their mind so boggled, worried about everybody else and everything else? But friend, I'm telling you, that's not the will nor the pleasure of God. It is God's will to hold to the things that I have heard. I'm going to preach salvation through the blood of Jesus. I'm going to preach holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. I'm going to preach the blessing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. With the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I'm going to preach divine healing as the Son of Righteousness with healing in our wings. I'm preaching Jesus is coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if I got to buy my own CD, I'll buy my own. But it's the word of an almighty God. It's the truth. It's the infallible word of God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hold, 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 hold. Give the more earnest heed. Give the more earnest heed. Give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Lest at any time, out of doubt in my mind, some of you have not thought in the last 6 months, I'll be generous, about laying down your convictions. Who told you? I don't know anything, but I know in my spirit that I can watch the process. I can watch you drift. I can watch you become unanchored and begin to move down the stream. And you have contemplated laying down your convictions. You have contemplated changing the words of God that have been burned into your heart. That's why he said, give the more earnest heed. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Do you have a firm grip on God's word tonight? I said, do you have a firm grip on God's word tonight? Amen. If not, you're going to be a drifter. If not, you're going to be a casualty. But I'm telling you, friend, I've wrapped my eyes, my heart, my hands around the word of God. Amen. I've got a fresh outlook. I've got a new fire in my heart. Amen. I'm in love with Jesus. I'm going to finish this race. I'm going to hear him say, well done. The third way to keep yourself from drifting is to remember there is a penalty for drifting. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by him. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders. God said, I've established my word through my son. I confirmed it among the apostles with signs and wondering. And if you lay down God's word, there will be a future penalty. There will be a retribution. Oh my God, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want to lose out now. Amen. I don't want to come up short now. But when the trumpet sounds, I want to be shouting on the streets of gold. Amen. I buried 76 elders. I buried a lot. My church is about as big over there as it is right here. But when the trumpet sounds, I want to see some of them again. I said, I want to go shout again. I want to dance again. And I know the way to do it is pure and it's holy. Anybody got the word of God tonight? Anybody got a firm grip? Anybody got a hold? I said, anybody going to lay it down? I said, no. I said, shout it. I say, dance. I say, run. I say, lift it up. It's God's infallible word. It's God's immutable word. I said, we're headed somewhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how much can we lay down? Just a little? I lost some of you about 10 minutes ago, but that's all right. How much should we change? You telling me the old timers were wrong? I don't want this newfangled mess. I don't want it. You can have it. You can have it. But I'm telling you, friend, when the power of God comes in this place, and when I leave here knowing the indwelling power of God is in my life, when I get up tomorrow, I'm going to have joy. When I get up tomorrow, I'm going to have peace. When I get up tomorrow, I'm going to have victory in my soul. When I get up tomorrow, I'm going to have Him walking with me. I'm going to feel His hand. I'm going to feel His presence. I said, oh, I've come too far. I said, I've come too far to start drifting now. So you're drifting. You, my friend, are drifting. I'm not preaching Sunday morning. I'm preaching Wednesday night, and I'm telling you, you are drifting. You might cover it up. You might look fine. You might shake hands and put a smile on your face and everybody think it's all right and make it look like I'm in left field and missed it by 1,000 miles. Do you hear me? If I know the Spirit of God, I know where you're at, and I'm telling you, there are more than one in here tonight, and you, my friend, are drifting. You might make it to camp meeting, but I tell you this, you won't be here by Christmas. You, my friend, are drifting. And once you lose the anchor of God's word, you've got nothing to resist the pressure. You've got nothing to resist the pull. You've got nothing to resist the tide. But God's word is an anchor. God's word is an anchor. I said, God's word, it's an anchor. Oh, and I'm going to tell you, I've tested it. I pulled on it when I felt all alone, when I felt like I was preaching by myself. I felt the anchor hold. I said, I felt that anchor hold. I said, it'll keep. I said, it'll keep. Somebody ought to shout tonight that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I said, that anchor will hold. Oh, men's applause, it will not hold. Your money will not hold. Careers and prestige will not hold. But I tell you, God's word, I said, God's word, I said, God's word, Brother Johnny, it'll hold. When you're young, it'll hold. When you got little kids, it'll hold. When you're older, it'll hold. Glory. There's a penalty. There's a penalty for drifting. Are you a drifter? Brother Austin, I don't want to be. Well, tonight we'll come to the altar. And you can ask God. And open up God's word. And the things you used to shout about, the things you used to testify about, have you let the world begin to cause you to drift a little bit? Or are you firmly planted Are you rock solid? You rock solid? Or are you drifting? You drifting. Father, I thank you, Lord, for my congregation that I've preached to tonight. I thank you for your word. It's a fire that you put in my heart. Lord, more than just an outline, Lord, you birthed a message. You burned a sermon into my heart. Father, now I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, this service could be the call someone needs to stir themselves to do better. This is the sermon someone needs to call themselves to action, to get a hold of the Word of God that they have literally thought, talked, contemplated, laying down. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not looking around. It doesn't matter to me if no one comes to this altar. I've obeyed the Lord tonight. But friend, tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, Brother Mark comes to this piano. You are drifting. You know it. Maybe your spouse knows it. Maybe your children know it. Maybe nobody knows it. But I'm going to ask you to do something very, very courageous. And you know what I'm going to ask you to do. And that is to admit you don't have a handle on the Word of God like you once did. You're not as fervent. And you feel like you're starting to drift. And this is your altar service right now. When I count to three, I want you to move toward this altar. If you're not touched in any way tonight, I want you to hold steady. But you know your need tonight, and you want to pray. One, two, three. Whether it's a young person, whether it's a middle-aged mom or dad, might be a grandparent, doesn't make me any difference tonight. As we come into this altar, as we come into this altar tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. 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 Father, stir us, stir us, stir us, oh God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This altar may have a few. It may be full. There only may be one or two. I don't know. But can the rest of us tonight join in the altar? Maybe you want to find someone to pray with. Maybe you want to kneel at your pew. But come on right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, in the name of Jesus, God, stir us right now. Oh, stir us right now. Glory.